Welcome to this sermon in our sermon series entitled, Jesus' Greatest Stories. Today's sermon title, His Endless Pursuit. Open your Bible to Luke 15, verses 1 through 7, and let's begin.
Father, I am so thankful for you. I'm thankful that you changed my life. I wouldn't know where I would be without you. I'm thankful that I heard your call, that I heard your voice, and I drew near to you and I said yes. But it wasn't until you drew near to me, I was able to come to you. I'm thankful for that, God. And Father, I pray that this message today, this is a message that people in this crowd, maybe just one person would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they would come to faith and they would walk with him for the rest of their lives. I know this message is for someone because you are the one who wants to communicate it. Bless this message, Lord. Anoint your son. Let me honoring and glorifying to you. In Christ's name is who we pray. Amen. So probably around 1993, I was around 3 or 4 years old. And my family at the time, we were living in the greater East Cleveland, right? We were living in East Cleveland. And one day, my mother and myself and my older brother, we had walked to the barbershop. My mother liked to keep her sons fresh and clean. So we had walked to the barbershop, wasn't too far of a walk, and we get there, my brother gets in a chair, you know, he's the older brother, of course he can do whatever he wants to do, and then my mother instantly found out she forgot something, right? So what does she do? She says, hey, I gotta go back home, you know, when I go back home, I'm gonna take Jovan. She took me with her back to the house. She knew my brother was fine at the barbershop. And so we get back home and she finds what she forgot and she tells me, listen, Javon, before we head back, I gotta use the bathroom. I'm gonna go upstairs, stay right here. Do not move. She said it like 5 times. I don't know why, but she said it 5 times. Do not move. She goes upstairs, she uses the bathroom in church. Let me reiterate and let me tell you once again, I'm 3 years old. We are in East Cleveland, and I walked out that door. And I started to walk down the street. And my mother came downstairs. Next thing you know, she's calling my name, Jovan, Jovan. She looks in the kitchen, looks in the backyard, looks under my bed, looks in the closet. She can't find me. Can you imagine the panic that a mother must feel when she loses her favorite child? Can you imagine just the overwhelming just fear that was building up minute by minute that she's looking around and I'm not there? And so she runs outside and she tells the neighbors, hey, have you seen my son? I can't find him. Again, we're in East Cleveland. I'm just walking around and she can't find me. My oldest brother had made his way home, and my mother told my oldest brother, I can't find Jovan. We have to find him. She's scared, and she's overwhelmed. 10 minutes goes by, and it feels like a lifetime because she can't find me. Luckily, church, thankfully, I was found by the mail lady. I was about to cross a major street. She was like, yeah, that's not right. Have you ever experienced that type of emotion because you lost something? Have you ever experienced that type of emotion when you lost something, especially something that's so special? Maybe it was a personal thing. Maybe it was somebody, whatever it may have been. Have you ever been in that moment where you lost something? Do you remember what that feeling was like? Parents, maybe you have been in that moment before where you've been in the grocery store, and then next year, you know, they're telling you over the over the intercom, look, your son's looking for you. But that state of emotion is one thing you'll never forget. It takes us on a roller coaster ride of uncertainty and instability when we lose things, especially things we value and are meaningful to us. And I wonder this, if we have that, how does God feel when someone walks away from him? How does God feel when somebody is raised in the church just like this, raised with Christian values, raised with Christian morals, has both parents in the home, and then one day they come back from college and they say, Mom and Dad, I don't believe anymore. I wonder what goes through God's mind when somebody, another young man or another young woman, falls victim of addiction yet again over and over and over. I wonder what does God feel when another marriage fails? I wonder, what does God think when he sees these kids that we see that Don was just talking about alone with no place to go? Let me be honest with you. I can answer that easily. It bothers God. As a matter of fact, it disturbs him. It disturbs him to see his kids walk away from him. It disturbs him to see his kids lost. Have you ever been lost before? You ever been trying to get somewhere? Maybe you put it in a GPS and then a GPS fails you and then you're lost. But imagine what God feels like when one of his children are far from him. When one of his children aren't close to him. See, it must break God's heart when he sees his children constantly in a state of being broken and defeated and crushed. And all of this equates to this one thing, and that's lost. And it disturbs him when he sees us lost. And we all have felt lost before in our lives. Some of us are lost emotionally. Some of us are lost socially. Some of us are lost even spiritually. And it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if you're a male, a female, black, or white. It doesn't matter. We all have felt lost at one point in our lives. And then it's inevitable that you will feel lost at some point. Because here's the thing, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to get lost in this type of world, am I right? It's easy to get lost because of the so many things that robs your joy, so many things that rob your peace, so many things that robs your hope. It's easy to get lost. You know, this is one thing that I very much am familiar with, being lost. And maybe you're like me today, maybe you fit that category. Maybe you fit that label. Because here's the thing, I've noticed that lost people have a distorted sense of self. There are so many people in this room today, even as I speak, even as we take our breath, there are some people in this room that do not like themselves. There are so many people that don't like their lives. And what happens is when they don't like themselves and they don't like their lives, they're basing everything off because of how they feel, because of opinions, or because of circumstances, which is the reason why depression is at its all-time high, is because we make feelings, we make circumstances, we make others' opinions a reality in our lives. And that's the reason why we have so many lost people. You know what I've noticed? Lost people don't feel like they measure up. You want to steal my joy? You want to know the easiest way to take away my joy? Put social media in front of me. Because here's the thing. When I get lost on social media, when I'm starting to look through and I'm looking at other pastors and other leaders and other great people, I'm saying to myself, what am I doing wrong? All these people that have these great followers and they have great success and everybody posts the best stuff. Nobody posts the worst days. Am I right? So I'm looking at that and I'm saying to myself, look at this guy. He's doing great things. And here I am in Brunswick, Ohio, asking myself, where did I go wrong? What path did I go down? Where did I go wrong? One thing I've noticed is that lost people are ruled and dominated by fear. You know, I pull fear out more than my credit card. It's true. Fear is my best friend. We have a good relationship. They have been around through the midnight hours. Fear is with me everywhere I go. You want to know how you know that you're trapped in fear? When you become hesitant to opportunity. When you have this negative bias about everything. Nothing would ever go right. This can never happen. I'll never be this and I'll never be that. And that's us today. Even if you feel like you have your life in order, it's still an opportunity and a possibility to be trapped in emptiness. When we feel lost without knowing, we invite certain habits, we invite certain people in our lives with the expectations that they are going to fill whatever hole or whatever gap that is missing in our lives. But here's the one thing that I want you to know. Nothing in this world can fill that void other than Christ himself. I am a product of that. I am a walking, living testimony of that. You can invite anything and everything in your life. It doesn't matter. Nothing fills you the way Christ fills you. Because at the end of the day, here's the thing. We need saved. We need to be saved. Here's the thing. Our lost condition is due to a lack of awareness on our part, which is why we need a Savior and why God gave us Christ. Here's the thing. God wants to find his lost kids. It bothers him that somebody in this room today is far from him. It bothers him. There's somebody in this room that is struggling severely, and he wants you to hear his call and hear his voice. Because here's the thing. God wants to find his lost kids to give them new beginnings. Who doesn't need a new beginning in life sometimes? And here's the thing. Those who trust in Christ Jesus, all things are made new. All things are made new. All things are made new for those who trust in him. And which why God grieves that there are so many that are far from him. And Jesus shares with us what he does when people are lost. And if that's you today, I want you to know this story is for you that we're going to read. If that's for somebody in your family, a child in your family, a sibling in your family, this story is for them. Because God does something when people are lost. He pursues them. Comes after him. Because he wants them back. The story that I want to share today is a story that Jesus once told. It's a very famous, what we call, parable. Now, just to let you guys know, a parable is the way Jesus spoke. It's nothing but a simply earthly story with heavenly meaning. It was when Jesus used familiar elements to present spiritual truth. Because here's the thing, lost people are far from truth. And I've been trying to get a little bit more in-depth detail about finding truth in my life. Because here's the thing, I'm tired of basing my life off how I feel, off what's going on. I need truth. And all truth comes from the one above. And the closer I get to truth, the closer I'm getting to him. And that's the reason why Jesus is going to tell this story. Now, before we get into this story, we have to understand the plot of the story. You're actually looking at Luke chapter 15. This whole entire chapter is about lost people or lost things. Jesus tells three different type of parables. Talks about the lost sheep. Talks about the lost coin. Talks about the lost son. You guys have heard about the prodigal son. But today, we're just going to focus on the lost sheep and how Jesus pursues those who are lost. I'm reading in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 to help us understand before we get right into the story. If you have your Bibles with you, anybody have their Bibles with them? Anybody have their Bibles? You're going to heaven, going to heaven. Going to heaven. Rebuke sinners. No, we're not that type of church. Just calm down. It says this, Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says this. Now all the tax collectors, we're going to get into that a little bit. All the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him. Now, him meaning Jesus. Coming near to him to listen to him. Verse 2, it says this. Both the Pharisees and the scribes. We're going to talk about them too. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble. This man receives sinners and he eats with them. Now, the author that is writing this account for each and every one of us, name is Luke. And Luke purposely pointed out two things. The tax collectors and the sinners. Because here's the thing, we are very much like them. We are very much like them. There's a reason why he points this out. Now, if you don't know tax collectors, if you've been around the church for a while, you may have heard they were people that pretty much they were embezzled money and did nothing but rob people, but it's a lot deeper than that. Actually, tax collectors, they were helping to support the Roman government at this time so they could oppress the Jewish people. So here's the thing, the tax collectors who were Jewish were severely hated by all. As a matter of fact, there's another account in the Gospels that say that they were the worst of sinners. And they hated them. And then he points out the sinners. Oh, this is one that I can very much commonly compare to. He says that the sinners, those who were practicing and involved in a lifestyle that was opposite of what God called them to. You know, the ones that Jesus hung out with, the prostitutes. You know, the ones that Jesus hung out with, the drunkards. You know, the ones that Jesus hung out with, the demon-possessed. See, this group was a group that was pushed away from the Jewish community, especially from the Pharisees and from the scribes. But here's what's amazing about this story, and we can't miss this. Jesus surrounds himself around people who are lost. That's the first thing he does. He wants to associate with those who don't know him. He wants to associate with those who walked away from faith. He wants to associate with those who walked away from church because of what somebody did to him. He wants to associate with people like you and me because that's just in his DNA. How can a holy God want to be around broken vessels like you and I? It is the greatest privilege in the world that Jesus wants anything to do with me. It is the greatest privilege in the world. The creator of the universe, the one who knew all, the one who created all, the one who is in all, wants everything to do with me. He wants to be close to me no matter where I am at in my life, no matter where you are at in your life. He wants to be close. That is his desire. It is in his nature. Doesn't matter what you did last night at a bar. Doesn't matter what you did last week. Doesn't matter what you did in college. Doesn't matter your reputation. Doesn't matter your lifestyle. He says, I want you. That's it. That is the God who we serve. Jesus embodies to each and every one of us. He wants us to know God wants to associate himself with people like us, no matter where they're at in their lives. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter how far you have gone, no matter how far that person that you have in your mind right now that is far from God, there is nothing God won't do to be around you or to be around them. No matter what reputation. Because here's the thing, Christ came to foster the forgotten. It's just true. Christ came to foster the forgotten. The tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes, the drunks, the demon-possessed, they were the forgotten ones. And here's the thing. We live in a world, in a society where everybody feels unloved. Everybody feels unwanted, just like maybe some of these people that were around Jesus. And here's the thing, what I've noticed. When people feel forgotten and people feel unloved, they tend to indulge themselves into a broken lifestyle. Which is half the conversations that I have with my students. Because half my students do not feel loved. And when you don't feel love, you're going to try to search for love. And sometimes you can find love in the wrong places. And that's nothing but what a lot of us have done in our own lives. We search love in the wrong places. And that's what Christ came to do. To help you to understand there's only one true love. There's only one true place. And that's here. With me. That's the reason why he did it. He came and he associated himself because he wanted to help bring transformation to them. Because Jesus knew at the root of their issue, it wasn't just a behavior. This isn't a moral sermon. No, it has nothing to do with that. The whole issue was their hearts. Because the issues of life flow from the heart. And he knew they needed transformation in their hearts. And he knew that they were lost. And typically when people are lost in their lives, it is probably because of an experience. And that experience or that event or that trauma, whatever happened to you, it probably distanced you, pushed you away from God, pushed you away from others, pushed you away from life in general. And what happens is he wants to free you from whatever has a hold on you. Because some of us have something holding on us. Matter of fact, all of us have something that's holding on us. A past, what mom did, what your dad did, what a sibling did, what your last divorce, whatever that it may have been, he's came to free that from each and every one of us. And so Jesus wants us to know, he wants to associate from the lost. Now, we can't ignore that the Pharisees are still here. They're still grumbling at Jesus. They're saying, why do you eat with people like them? Why do you hang out and associate with people like them? And then Jesus goes on and he tells this parable. Probably one of the most profound parables, one of the most profound truths that we can ever read in the scriptures is found right here in these few verses. He says it like this. He says this. So he told them this parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does he not leave the 99 in open pasture and go after the one which he has lost until he finds it? Verse 5, it says this, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing, partying, excited. Because why? Because when he comes home, he calls together with his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice for me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Jesus wants us to understand in this parable, in this metaphor that he's giving, that he wants us to understand we are like sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, they need a shepherd. We are like sheep, and if you know anything about sheep, they need a shepherd. Now, this is a very foreign kind of element. I understand in modern day today, it's foreign to a lot of us, but it has so much deep meaning in this. Here's the one thing I want you to know. The one thing that I want to point out is that Jesus notices, or the shepherd notices, that one sheep is missing. You know, it was very common in my life where I sometimes feel like God doesn't notice me. This is very common in my life where I feel like God is not aware of the struggles that I'm in. And sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I feel that God is distant because of what he's not doing for me. Because of what he's not answering. But here's the thing. Jesus fully helps us to understand God is aware. He's aware of the state that you're in. He's aware that you're lost. He's aware that there's a student out there right now contemplating whether they should swallow a bottle of pills. He's aware that there's a marriage failing in this room right now. He is aware. He knows. And he wants to do something about that. Our God fully is aware of what's going on in our life, because to him, he wants us to understand he is the shepherd and we are the sheep. And a shepherd notices when his sheep are lost, when his sheep are broken, and we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. And so what happens is when Jesus says, when the shepherd notices that the sheep is gone, not even matter if the 99 are here, he knows he has to find that one. He'll leave the 99. He knows they're safe. He knows they're good. He says, there is one person out there that I have to pursue. No matter the risk, no matter the cost, he has to find that lost sheep. God has to find the ones who have walked away from him. The shepherd pursues the sheep because the sheep has no direction, has no sense of direction. Did you know that sheep are dumb? They are really dumb animals. Look at that. They are really, really dumb animals. They have no sense of direction. When a sheep gets lost, or when they walk out of from the flock, they stay lost. There's no sense of direction. They don't come back home. Anybody got dogs in here? When your dog runs away, you tell, come on, boy. Come on, girl. And they come back, right? But that's not the same thing with the sheep. When they're lost, they stay lost. And they have no way of coming back. In the same way, when I live my life from my own wisdom, I can get lost. When I live my life trying to do what I think is best, that's when I get lost. When I live my life trying to do what I want, that's how I get lost. Because here's the thing, when you don't have a sense of direction, you're prone to go down the wrong path. Is there anybody in here that can compare to me and say, I have been down the wrong paths? I have turned down some places, turned down some alleys, trusted in some people, loved the wrong things because I was going off my own wisdom, which is why we need a shepherd, which is why he pursues us, because he knows there is, if they're lost, they stay lost and they'll never come back until I go to them. This is beautiful. This is poetic what Jesus is saying, even with all the, because we're going to continue to make crazy choices. We're going to continue to do the wrong things. That's why he has to come after you and I. But the one thing he also wants us to know that the shepherd pursues the sheep because he knows that the sheep will starve on its own. He knows that the sheep cannot survive, and he knows that the sheep will struggle. If I can share a come-to-faith moment with you, this was very much my life. At one point, I thought I can live my life without God. I thought my life was okay without God. And then I realized, and I quickly realized, most of my issues was because I was the one creating them. And I needed saving. And I needed help. Most of my issues came from this honest awareness that I need Christ, that I'm no good on my own. And everything that I counted as a value at one point in my life that was away from God, I now count as worthless. It's not even worth to be compared to the value of knowing him. Because here's what I want you to know. Not that I don't struggle anymore, but the one thing I want you to realize, you can live a happy life away from God, but it's impossible to be whole without him. Let me say that because I don't think anybody heard that. Listen, you can live a happy life without God. You can. You can be rich. You can have more degrees than the thermostat. You can live, you, whatever, but it's impossible to be whole. And here's the thing, I'd rather be whole than be happy. Because happiness is cheap. Being whole is expensive. That's why Christ came. And I need to be whole sometimes in my life. That's the reason why he pursues you and I. I can't do this life without a savior. I can't do this. My marriage will fail. My marriage will fail. My leadership, my career, everything will fall before me if he is not before me. That's why I need the shepherd. God pursues us all the time. He pursues us in the scriptures. That's why it's so important for us to dive into this beautiful, authentic word. He pursues us through other people. That's why it's important for us to surround ourselves around wise, experienced people. He pursues us always, always. But I love that when Jesus says that when he goes out, because here's the thing, he's determined to find the sheep. He's determined. He's like, listen, I'm not stopping until I find that one. I'm not stopping. And he says when he finds the lost sheep, he says this in verse 5, he lays it on its shoulders. Oh, I love this. I love this. Because here's the thing. Sometimes I am far from God because I think he's disappointed in me. I think God's mad at me. That God wants nothing to do with me because of what I did, because of where I've been. But here is God giving us an example that when the shepherd meets the sheep, he doesn't scream at the sheep. He just puts it on his shoulders. Why? Because most likely the sheep have been hurt. You know, the thing about a sheep is they're defenseless. They go off in the wilderness. They can't protect themselves. So that means that other vultures and other animals will come after them and attack them. And they probably are going to be 99%. They're going to be hurt. And when the shepherd finds the sheep, most likely that it's hurt. The shepherd tends to the wounds. And I know this, all of us have been damaged in some type of way. That's why we also need Christ. Because here's the thing, I'm tired of living my life faking it. I want to start living my life facing it, that I've been damaged, that I've been hurt. And the only one who can bring real healing, the only one who can bring me to real restoration after all my affliction is when I trust in him. Because I can't carry my wounds into my new relationships. I can't carry those scars that are still bleeding into the new opportunities. I need a shepherd. You see how valuable the sheep are? Well, church, that's you. That's how valuable you are. He doesn't want to go without you and I. He doesn't want to go without you and I, and he wants to find each and every one of us, no matter where we are at in our lives. He says, I need to find you, no matter the cost. And he knows that we've been hurt. He knows that we've chosen the world over him. He knows that we've chosen a temptation. He knows this. But he's still determined to find you because he wants you. But I love that when Jesus says that when he finds the sheep, lays it on his shoulders, and he brings it home. Whew, that is beautiful. He says, I bring them home, and they come home, and he says, heaven rejoices. You know, the NBA finals just passed, and luckily, we were able to see the Sinners, Golden State Warriors. Thank you, amen, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We were able to see the Golden State Warriors take a big L to the Toronto Raptors. And I was watching the game, but as I was watching the game, I saw that the clock started to dwindle down to zero. And then when it hit zero, the buzzer sound. And when the buzzer sound, all of the Raptors just jumped with joy. They were excited. They jumped with joy and they started hugging one another and they started crying and they started running around. But the celebration didn't stop there. The celebration moved on to the ceremony where they presented the trophy. And they put the trophy right in front of them. And all of the players, all of management, all of front office, they're excited. Because what they won is so valuable. Because they've been wanting something so bad. This trophy meant so much to them. They worked so hard to get that trophy. 82 game season, playoffs. They got to win all those just so they can get what's valuable. And the party doesn't stop there. They go into the locker room. They're popping champagne. They're excited. Once again, they're hugging one another. Probably don't even know who they're hugging at this point. I wonder, what is heaven like when somebody says yes to God? I wonder, what is heaven like when somebody comes home? When somebody comes home. Some of you need to come home today. Some of you need to come home today. Because the value that an NBA has, or the value that the World Series has, or the value that the Super Bowl has, is nothing worth compared to the value that you have. And that's why he wants you to come home. To come home. You've been gone too long. You've been gone too long. This is a cold world, and you need to come home. Here's the one thing I want you guys to know as I wrap up. Life is hard, and we need a shepherd. And I noticed this, that as I continue to live and as I continue to grow, because that's what I want to do, a life apart from Jesus isn't life at all. A life apart from Jesus isn't life at all. Jesus says, I have many who I have to search to bring them back home, and I must bring them home. Says that. He says, I must bring him home. So I want to say a prayer with all of you. And if this message at all impacted you, I want you to repeat the words that I'm going to say. Because if you feel like you're lost, this message was for you. If you know someone is lost, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for them. Because let me tell you something right now. God wants you or them home. Let me say a prayer. God, I don't know where I would be if you haven't saved me. If you didn't come after me. I was trapped in my guilt. I was trapped in my shame. I was trapped in so much filth. But it wasn't until you said, Jovan, come home. Are you ready to follow me? And I'm thankful that you saved me out of the pit of hell that I created. I know that I wouldn't be anywhere without you. Father, I call upon your name right now, and I pray for your sons and your daughters sitting in this room today, that someone would hear your voice whisper, come home. Leave and come home. Father, I pray that someone would give their life and say that, Jesus, I trust in you as my Lord and my Savior. I wouldn't be nothing without you, and I need you. Forgive me of all that I've done. Forgive me of all the things that I've been. Forgive me right here, right now. Because without you, there is no me. I love you, God, and I'm thankful for you. In Christ's name is who we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.